Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm sorry, I was disconnected to my printer all day today, so I could not print this lesson. We are trying to do it here, inshallah, so I may give it to you in the middle of the lesson. I think we finished with the chapter 5. So we have to now discuss things about chapter 6. Did we do Alin and Sajin in chapter 5? We didn't do that. Okay. We didn't complete chapter 5. Page 60. Okay, I think we did page 60. And this Karam and Katibin we did as well in one of our previous chapters. The angels who are very honored and respected, and they are writing the action of the people in a book. Now, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. O you human, you are laboring towards your Lord laboriously, and you will encounter Him. Phase by phase we are moving towards our Lord, فَمُلَاقِيهِ, and you are going to meet Him. In Laqa Allah, inshallah, we'll discuss this, why we are going phase by phase towards the Lord, with difficulties, with labor actually, with great hardship, we are moving to reach that Laqa, the encounter of the Lord, inshallah. We'll discuss this in Laqa Allah. Then, when we meet Allah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Before we meet Allah, our book of action is given to us. And then Allah would judge us, the final judgment. Of course, there are many judgments on the way, many witnesses, many books coming to talk about what we have done. However, the final judgment is with God. And when we go to God alone, we go with our book of action. Now, if that book of action is given to us while we are going to succeed, they know that the angels will give us the book itself, everything gives us the information that this is not the book of a miserable person. This is a book, the book of a lucky person, of a successful person. And this is why it said that it is given to your right hand, or from your right hand. As I said, this is something used in Arabic language to indicate success, luck, and the opposite, shamal, is indicating misery. So when you are given your book in your right hand, so to speak, and you go to your Lord, then there is no angel there, nothing else, no witness, it is you and Him only. As you have passed all those stages, now you have come to your Lord, as we have in one other verse, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Leave me alone with what I have created myself. Because I want to now ask Him why He ran away from me, for example. And now, when that book is given to you, and you go to your Lord, and that's the book of a successful person, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. He shall soon receive an easy reckoning. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And he will return to his folks joyfully. Now, أَهْلِهِ, folks, either might mean the family or people like him. He will return to them. They go one by one, and then they come back, return again to that congregation of the like-minded or people with similar actions. But as for him who is given his record in his from behind his back, that in his is redundant, from behind his back, or from left hand, both are denoting the same thing, both indicate misery. He will pray for annihilation and he will enter the blaze. And in one other verse that we have, that for them is evil reckoning. Now, easy reckoning or evil reckoning? Su'ul hisab. Ula'ika lahum su'ul hisab. Now, what's the meaning of easy reckoning and evil reckoning? It was once asked, because usually prophets used to pray like this, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min su'ul hisab. I seek refuge in you from evil reckoning. And the companion is asking, why? Because there's no evil reckoning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's just. He is the most just. There's nothing evil that we might fear from him. So what's the meaning of evil reckoning and easy reckoning? Any suggestion? Mercy will not encompass. So what does but what's evil reckoning? An easy reckoning? His mercy.
Well,
there's no such thing as no reckoning. Everyone will have a reckoning. So maybe easy reckoning is the pleasant one. One you reckon, one really you wish you didn't have.
You wish you didn't have it.
But I tell you, any one of us, if we go there and Allah wants to seek justice, then we are done. If He wants really to speak of His justice, and he said, okay, do you want me to reckon you justly, with justice? Of course, no, we don't want that. No, please, يَا مَنْ لَا يُخْشَى إِلَّا عَدْلُهُ. You are the one that only, the only thing that people fear from you, your creation would fear from you, is your justice. We hope your favor, your grace, your mercy, not your justice, of course. Now, easy reckoning is when Allah doesn't speak of justice. He just, very briefly, like a very summary quote, that you people want to somehow acquit you of all your charges. Just a very summary, brief quote. And Allah says, okay, you have done this and that, and no matter, go. Something like that. I mean, just to make it easy. And very minute evils that we have done, he never mentions them. The ni'mah that he has given to us, he never mentions that. And he never makes parallel between the ni'mah and our action. He never says, okay, I gave you eyes, what did you do with that? How much worship did you do for that, for example, in return? Or how many thanks, how much thanks did you give? No, never like that. That's easy reckoning. Evil reckoning is when Allah is going to ask these things that we take for granted, and our small sins, and even bigger sins that, of course, everyone commits during their life. Yes.
The opposite of evil is good.
Yeah.
The opposite of evil is good. Why is it put? Why is the wrong opposite to that? Because easy and evil are not.
Yeah, we have both of them. We have نُيَسَّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى and نُيَسَّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Usr is difficult. And we have that usr as opposite of yus. Also we have evil. It is su is evil. And of course it involves difficulty as well. Because for the person who really wants to endure that reckoning, it's evil. Is something which really would destroy the person. If Allah wants to talk justice, then it would destroy the person. Now, how it is determined that a person is going to have an easy reckoning or a difficult reckoning, a reckoning which is not very much geared with justice, the people know beforehand how they get their books, how their books are given to them. Of course, it's not a book, it's just the personality given back to them. They know that they are going to meet an easy court or a difficult court. So, again, it's the kitab which determines. Everything is the kitab which determines what type of treatment we are going to receive there. Then, according to some interpretations, all the books of evil, or evil books, books of evil people, and all the books of good people, they are recorded in, or they are filed in two different books. One is the book of the Abrar, good people, the other is the book of Ashrar, evil people, or Fujjar. And the Quran names something for, gives some name for those books. In Surah Mutassifin, chapter number 83, Kalla inna kitab al-fujjar lafi sijjin, wa ma adraka ma sijjin, kitabun marhum. Indeed, the record of the vicious is in sijjin. Sijjin is from sajjin, and sajjin means prison. Now, and sajjin means a prison from which you have no chance of coming out. It's very difficult. And that's why that book of evildoers is called sajjin. Kalla inna kitab al-abrar lafi sajjin wa ma adraka ma sajjin. What will show you what is sajjin? It is a written record. So, it is a written record, but all the books of the evil people would go and be compiled in that written book, Kitabun Marqum. Also, it says, Kalla inna kitab al-abrar lafi alliyin. The record of the pious is indeed in alliyun. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا أَلِّيُّونَ. And what will show you, what is أَلِّيُّونَ? Again, it is a written record. كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. However, here, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Witnessed by those brought near. It is in that category, which is in presence of those who are brought near. Very close to them, this Kitab al-Abrar, and Alliyun. Alliyun means Alawun fi Alawun. A degree over degree over degree is piled like a stack of books according to what degree a person would have. The book will go at the top or come at the bottom. But anyhow, it's all in Alliyun. These books are compiled in one another book, which is called Alliyun. So, for evildoers and for good doers, there are two separate record again. So it's, and these two are put as two parts of one very huge book, which is the collective book of all human beings, of which Allah would speak on the day of judgment that وَوُضَعَ الْكِتَابَ, and the book will be set down. وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ, and the prophet and shuhada will be brought forward. And then we start judging people according to the witness, which is given by the prophets and shuhada, and according to what is written in that book, we judge the people, and then the judgment is done. So every nation has a collective book, apart from this very collective book of the evildoers and very collective book of the good doers. Every nation, ummah. Of course, nation is not a good translation of ummah, but since it's everywhere translated as nation, I've mentioned nation as well. It means a group of people. So every group of people, according to what they have done, they have their own book. It means that it's a system. There's a systematic type of compilation of that book, that every group, the pages of every the pages of the action of every group, which makes that very huge book, are one chapter of that huge book. Then there are two sections for that huge book. One is the section for evildoers, one is the section for good doers. And so on and so forth. It's just a very systematic way of putting things together. Here it says in Surah Jathiyah, وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً. You will see every nation fallen on its knees. Every nation will be summoned to its book. كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَى كِتَابِهَا. Al-Yawm, this doesn't mean Christians or Muslims or Jews. By nation, we don't mean that. We mean any group of people who has similar action, similar thoughts. Today you will be requited for what you used to do. And then we will tell them, هَذَا كِتَابُنَا يَنْتُغَ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. This is our book which speaks truly against you. Indeed, we used to record what you used to do. إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Now, here it says, every nation fallen on its knees. Implies some sort of humiliation, and it is of course inclusive of good doers, evil doers, people who do good, people who do evil, and it, what it implies is that that is a day which every nation, every group, whether good or evil, they would feel their humbleness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their humiliation. And they come to their knees, they submit, every nation would submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, the last thing, the whole human race has a collective book. As is said in Surah Kahf, وَوُضَعَ الْكِتَابِ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفَقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. The book will be set up, then you will see the guilty apprehensive of what is in it. They will say, woe to us, what a book is this? It omits nothing big or small without enumerating it. They will find present whatever they had done. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. Whatever they have done, they will find present in that book. Not written. The very action is present in that book. And your law does not wrong anyone. Again, about this book, this very huge book of human race, and the earth will glow with the light of her Lord, and the book will be set up. And the prophets and the martyrs will be brought, and judgments will be made. Will be made between them justly, and they will not be wrong. And finally, كل شيء أحصيناه كتابا. Now, it's not only actions of human beings or the like. Everything that you might imagine is organized as such. Everything in this creation is organized as such. It is categorized, classified, organized. Up to the day of judgment, everything systematically works. And your actions are the same thing. And your book is the same thing as the book of creation. Okay, chapter 6, incarnation of actions, expiation, takfir, and annihilation, ihbar. In this chapter, will be able to answer many questions that we have about what happens, for example, to kuffar who are good doers on the day of judgment. What happens to mu'minun who are evil doers on the day of judgment? This chapter, through the verses of the Quran, would answer lots of these questions, and I hope it would become clear. If it does not, please discuss the issue. Now, incarnation of actions. What I mean by incarnation, or what the theologians mean by incarnation, is that your actions have a form that you do not see. Here you do not see, the action is what is your movement and some consequence. However, when you move higher to another world, you will see that for that action there is a form. There is a type of reality which you can see. And then when you go to the Day of Judgment, that reality changes to another thing. And that reality would somehow be as your companion forever. The action that you have performed and has a reality will be a companion of you forever. It's not something in your memory anymore. It comes out of your memory, it will find some shape, and it will be with you forever. And this is why we are told in many riwayat that do whatever you want to do, because you will be with it forever. As you wish, act as you wish. اَعْمَلُوا مَا شَئْتُمْ, as Allah threatens in the Quran, اَعْمَلُوا مَا شَئْتُمْ, do whatever you want. But know that whatever you do, there's an account for it, you will be with it forever, and so on and so forth. Now, the verses that allude to the fact that the actions have a sort of form on the Day of Judgment. It's not sheer memory or the consequences of the action that would remain with you. Because usually when we talk about this, we think that there are some consequences or some influences of the action in our heart, in our soul, which would remain with us. However, that is the case, but there is more than that as well. It's not only influences, not only the memory of the action, not only evil or good influences. It is the very action itself, which has an evil form or a very pleasant form. And it would be our company forever. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. The day when every soul will find presence, whatever good it has done, and as to whatever evil it has done, it has done, it will wish there were a far distance between it and itself. Between if they have done evil, تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. Now, just again, the type of sentence would show that there is something before you. You would like to distance yourself from that reality. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ, and Allah warns you to beware of disobeying Him, and Allah is most kind to His servants. Now, another verse that alludes to that is وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Whatever good you send ahead for your soul, you will find it with Allah, in Allah. It, so to speak, it has separated from you, whatever you have done. You have sent it forward. It has reached God, and God will keep it with Him. And when we say end Allah, it means in a world which is alamul am, which is different from this world. And when you go to the Lord, you will find it. تَجَدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You will find it there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if this is a good action, you have sent it forward as a good action, هُوَ خَيْرًا. You find it to be better than what you did, because it has now transformed into something else. وَأَعْظَمَ عَجْرًا. And then your action will be given to you, and a reward for that action as well. Both. For evildoers, it's only the action returned to them. For good doers, it's the action and a reward for that action. Twice they receive the pleasant thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is more explicit. إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. Indeed, we have warned you of a punishment near at hand. The day when a person will observe what his hands have sent ahead. And the faithless one will say, I wish I were dust. It means, I wish I did not exist now. by seeing what their hand has sent forward for them. And many, many other myriads of verses of the Quran, of course, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَسْطُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاثًا لِيُرَوَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. On that day, mankind will issue forth in various groups to be shown their deeds. Now, we might take all these to mean that we will be reminded of our actions, or we need the consequences of our actions. But the verses don't talk about consequences. They talk about the very actions themselves. ما تقدموا لأنفسكم تجدوه عند الله. Or وما تفعلوا من خير تجدوه عند الله. Everything, all these verses talk about not the consequences of the actions, about the actions themselves. And it means the actions will have a form, you are going to meet those actions. And those actions will be your company at the end. Now, let me skip this verse as well. I want to have you a question, to ask you a question, and that is, do we not believe that our actions are actually with us now and in Barzakh and on the day of judgment and when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They are always with us. And the Quran says, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ. Every human being, we have put their omen, which are the actions, in their, on their necks, round their neck. And on the day of judgment, we open it for them. يَلْغَاهُ كِتَابًا مَنْشُورًا. Now, if this is the case, even if the actions have an incarnation, have a form, that form, although we don't see it, it should be with us all the time. As the Quran mentions, what's the meaning of all these verses that you will find it with God, beside God? Or on that day you are going to see what you have done. You are going to experience تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ. You really experience what you have sent forth. So what's the meaning of that? How do we tally between these two sets of verses? One set of verses tell us that your actions are always with you, and that is our book. And the other set of verses say that when you come there, you will find it with us. You will see it. You will look at your actions. يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ إِلَى مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. The person would watch what they have sent forth. How do we tally between these two sets of verses?
Would it be
the consequences of the action from much more clear, much more visible? Sometimes
when you do something, you want to see it clear and have it affect other people. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will become more visible.
Yeah.
Consequences of the action. The consequences.
Now, let's regard the consequences of the action as a part of action in itself. So it's all the action that we are going to see. Yes?
You say that the person at any one time is like the consequences of all of his past actions, or anybody that was there at the same time, it's just the consequence of every action. So it's like they're holding all the actions at one point anyway, because that's all they are, their previous actions. For example, if somebody went to, let's say, study to be a doctor, now he's a doctor. He's a consequence of all of that. He's saying a lot of bad things. And on the day of judgment, because it's a further and further levels of self-realization, what happens is that these become more and more distinct, so that you see each and everything that actually makes up what you are, and this is what it means, is that you'll find them with Allah. Because the further and further you go to who you actually are, the further and further you know you have to
be. Yes, it's one explanation of that as well. Any other explanation? Sorry? One thing is that We actually do not see our actions now. We see the consequences of our actions, but we do not see our actions, the very actions. Even when you go to Barzakh, we are told that your actions would come to you like a very handsome person or a very ugly person. It's just a type of zip for our actions. This is either ugly or beautiful, but it's zip for. However, when we go to the Day of Judgment, it's open. It's unzipped, as the Quran says, يَلْقَاهُ كِتَابًا مَنْشُورًا. On the Day of Judgment, he would meet it as an open book. And we might see, of course, even the open book at different stages. However, the very reality of it would not be experienced until that final stage where Allah says you will watch your actions, you will look at your actions. Yes.
Where is the position of forgiveness in this? Because if you want to see the actions in the action, it means you're even going to see the actions that technically you've been forgiven for as well.
Yeah.
So what's the position here? Is it that they sort of make each other up, they don't really see very much, or what does that mean?
Now we'll come to that shortly. This is our next topic we are going to discuss. But before that, the incarnation, what is called tajassudul amal in theological books, is that the very action with its form, which it finds on the Day of Judgment. And this is the meaning of all these verses that Allah says, on the Day of Judgment, we inform you what you did. We inform you what you did. Of course, we know what you have done. And Allah says, read your book, you can judge yourself. But informing the reality, about the reality of what you have done, will be told to us. Now, okay, we have good actions and bad actions. If Allah wants to tell us about our evil actions, or if some of us wants to see on the Day of Judgment what evil we have done, even before going to paradise, even if Allah forgives them before going to paradise, just looking at those things, we die forever. We cannot really endure that shame and that calamity to look at our evil actions. Because first of all, we hope that Allah will forgive them, and forgiveness doesn't mean that by going through all these analysis about the reality of actions, not a reward or punishment which is conventional, you will be given your actions. Then what's the meaning of maghfara here? And if Allah forgives, however, the evil actions are going to be there forever for us to look at, then we will lose all the enjoyment and the joys of paradise, all the time looking at our evil actions. So there should be a way here. The meaning of, there are two different meanings for two very closely related terms that which is used in Quran as well in our traditions. One is afwa, forgiveness, and the other is maghfara. Now, maghfara is different from forgiveness. It comes after forgiveness. And it means that the action is somehow wiped out. It's not just Allah forgives you because for that action and doesn't mention it. No, because the action will be with you. So it should be wiped out, somehow eliminated from your record. And this is what is called in the Quran with another term, expiation, takfir. Takfir means to expiate, to cover, and eliminate somehow the very actions that we have done. So the answer to your question is, of course, if we are going to go to paradise and if Allah forgives us, then no action will be left on our record that is going to annoy us when we think about it or when we look at it. Now, in Surah Nisa, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. If you avoid the major sins that you are forbidden from doing, we will absolve you of your misdeeds and admit you to a noble abode. Nukaffir is from takfir, and takfir means expiation. It means that if a person never commits a kabira, great sin, small sins will be forgiven completely. Forgiven in the sense that after Allah forgives, they will be eliminated from the book of our actions. And there's nothing there that would ever annoy us after that. And sometimes this is facilitated by compensating for evil actions by good actions. And this is why we have to pray Salah 5 times a day, because we do lots of evil things during the day. Things that we might not regard to be evil at all, but they are evil in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this salat would wash us, would wash the record from all those evils day by day. It's not kept for the end of the life. It's washed, it's refreshed day by day. As the Prophet said, the example of salat is like someone who has a pond at those days just by their house, and every day 5 times they go and take a bath in that pond. Would any dirt remain on their body and build up? No, they wash 5 times a day. And by this salat we wash 5 times a day. Of course, if this salat is not a sin in itself that you commit by being ignorant all the time about salat and about the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would refresh the soul and wipe out the evil action. And this is what is said here: أقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. Maintain prayers at the 2 ends of the day and during the early hours of the night. 2 ends of the day, the morning and afternoon, and early hours of the night. Indeed, good deeds efface misdeeds. It effaces them. It just eliminates them. Takes them away. That is an admonition for the mindful. There's a very interesting hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam that the reason behind all the actions that we do every day is asked from him. And then he answers very calmly. And he says, of course, all these things that you ask, there are many reasons for them, but I just mentioned some of it for you. For example, why should we make wudu before salat? Why in wudu we have to wash our hands and faces and wipe our head and feet? Why should we say Azan? Why the beginning of Azan is Allahu Akbar? Why the end of Azan is La ilaha illallah? Why we have to say Fatihatul Kitab in the Salat? Why we have to say Surah? Why we have to do Ruku? Why we have to do Sujood? Why Salat is Surah Ka'in So, 4 Raka'in So? He answers to all these things. One very interesting thing that he mentions is that you know that the origin of Salat initially, what Allah wanted from every human being in these 5 times was only 1 rak'ah. Because salat is standing before God, ruku and sajda. That's all. That's all Allah wants. This is what washes and wipes out the sins. But Allah knew that in that 1 rak'ah you cannot concentrate. So He said, you do it 2 rak'ah. So that If you miss house in that one rak'ah, your concentration, you could concentrate in the second rak'ah, in part of it. So then every salat became two rak'ah. So Fajr salat, Dhuhr, evening, afternoon, evening, Isha, all two rak'ah. Then Prophet saw that even in these two rak'ahs, people do not concentrate. So we asked the Lord, can you add some rak'ahs so that people could concentrate in the additional rak'ahs? And Allah said, okay, how you want me to add it? He said, for Fajr, I don't want additional because in Fajr people have more concentration, first of all. For Zuhr and Asr, I want two rak'ahs to be added. Because that time is when people lack concentration. For Maghrib, I want one rak'ah because people want to have to go and have food, they are tired, and one rak'ah is enough to be added. For Isha, two rak'ahs, and Allah authorized him to say, okay, 17 rak'ahs every day you pray. And then now, the interesting thing is that, again, it was clear that people cannot concentrate in these 17 rak'ahs. So there was nawafil. The nawafil were ordained. So that if people miss out on these 17 rak'ahs, they could make up for the concentration in those 34 rak'ahs. So, it's all there for us to remove our sayyat. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. The hasanat would remove the sayyat. The good deed would remove the evil deed. And if really someone does these 17 rak'ah with concentration, and of course we cannot do that, so nawafil are added to it, and we do the nawafil. Of course the nawafil, when we want to do the nawafil, we do it so quickly that we cannot concentrate at all, and therefore we miss, although even if we pray 71 rak'ahs every day, we cannot find that concentration which removes our sayyat. But anyhow, Allah says, this is the case. The hasanat would remove the sayyat. This is the expiation. Also, many, many verses like this, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيَّاتِهِمْ. For those who have faith and do righteously, we will absolve them of their misdeeds and will surely reward them by the best of what they used to do. And the following verse is the same. And this is a very general image given to us in Surah Taghabun. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُكُمْ لَيَوْمِ الْجَامِ ذَلَكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنْ. The day when he will gather you for the day of gathering, that will be a day of dispossession. Of course, you are dispossessed of whatever you have except for your actions. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. And whoever has faith in Allah and acts righteously, he shall absolve him of the misdeeds and admit him into gardens with streams running in them, to remain in them forever. That is the great success. Now, what happens if someone is good generally and have some evil actions, and if Allah does not remove those actions, what happens to these people? If that maghfirah and takfir doesn't come, what would happen to these people? They will be kept outside paradise forever. And since there's no place outside paradise, they have to go to hell. And how Allah wants to take them to hell? While they are good people? With some misdeeds? Impossible. So Allah should, as He promises, when we say should, as if He would remove the evil actions. Because evil cannot enter paradise, as we discussed before. Evil, a speck of evil, cannot enter paradise. And therefore, it is something to facilitate the entrance to paradise for ordinary people. The evil should be removed. Now, What if the contrary happens? That is, there are evil people with good actions. What should be done to them? Good action cannot enter heaven. It's impossible for a good action, a form of good action. As we said, now actions have form.
It would be heaven.
But with their good actions, they cannot go to hell. They cannot go to hell with their good actions. So long as the good actions are with them, and since the actions do not separate from the people, so long as their good actions are there, they cannot go to hell. So what happens to them?
Maybe the good actions might be taken away.
Removed.
Removed, kept them outside.
No, not kept them outside, just removed. Completely annihilated. Just annihilated because there is no place for those actions to stay. They don't have any base. Those actions do not have any platform on which they can stand. And therefore, the good actions would be annihilated, would just go away just like dust. Well, it would be destroyed. Not only not accepted, it would just be destroyed. Yes?
Allah has given the good or the reward for that action in another place that goes on for during a lifetime.
Yes, he might have given lots of rewards for those actions, okay? In Barzakh, in this world. But eventually, since those actions do not have a place to stand on, they would be scattered by the, like something scattered by the wind. And this is exactly what Quran says, that on the opposite side, or the other side of this expiation of evil actions for good people, is annihilation of good actions by evil people. This is what is called ihbat. Ihbat means destruction, annihilation. Now, let's see what we have about this annihilation.
Where's the justice in that?
Well,
evil people with good actions.
As Zuhair said, they have received their rewards somewhere else. But the actions cannot stand on that evil. You see, it's just like a barren land, and a very fertile land. Fertile land is like a mu'min. Whatever action you put in it, it would grow. Good action. Now, if there are some weeds there, Allah can take those weeds away. Okay? And then it will be a very nice garden. On the contrary, the barren land, which is the kafir, whatever you plant in it, it doesn't come. It doesn't grow. And if sometimes something grows, it would be destroyed by the environment in itself. So it cannot be attached to that person forever. Now here Allah says, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Now irtidad means you turn from faith to unfaith. Now, when you are faithful, you have prayed, you have fasted, you have done good things. Now you have turned away from the faith, you have become a kafir. So, the fertile land has become the barren land now. And that barren land would burn out all those trees, plants, which were already planted in there. And there's no good action anymore. And this is what Allah says, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. And whoever of you turns away from his religion and dies faithless, they are the ones whose works have failed in this world and the hereafter. They shall be the inmates of the fire and they shall remain in it. Now, here fail is a translation of habitat. Of course, habitat is a technical term, which is mentioned in the Quran, in the theology, that it means just annihilation of the action. Well, the same thing as faith. I mean, they have brought some good actions, but it's faith. It's not accepted, so to speak. من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون. As for those who desire the life of this world and its glitter, we will recompense them fully for therein. And they shall not be underpaid in it. Now, this is where they receive the reward of what they do. They are the ones for whom there shall be nothing in the hereafter but fire. What they had accomplished in the world had failed. This is again, إحباط, حبطة, ما صنعوا فيها, and their works have come to naught, completely destroyed. Now, this is the example which I gave, and it's a very, very nice allegory used here in this verse. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. This is in Surah Ibrahim. أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهَا الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء ذلك هو الظلال البعيد. A parable of those who defy the Lord. Their deeds are like ashes over which the wind blows hard on tempestuous day. They have no power over anything they have earned. That is extreme error. ذلك هو الظلال البعيد. As I said, just like ashes on which the wind, a very blustery wind is blown, they all scatter around, nothing is left there. There's another metaphor used in the Quran, which is in the same vein for a specific action, and that's for infaq in Surah Baqarah. It says that مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ رَآءَ النَّاسِ. Those who give charity, they do infaq for the sake of people, so that the people see. The example is like a very solid rock with polished top. That whatever you put on it in terms of seed or anything that you want to grow, it does not stand there. Even if the rain comes, not only it wouldn't help, it would just wash away those things. And nothing is left there. And then compare this with those who يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They give as charity their أموال فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Their example is like the example of a very fertile land, in which there are those and far are seed, and then the rain comes. The rain comes for everyone, for that rock and for this fertile land. But this fertile land, whatever type of rain comes, it would make it cultivated, the seeds would grow. On that rock, nothing would grow. This is the example of two types of soul. In a kafir soul, nothing would grow. And even if they do something good, it will be annihilated later on. With a mu'min soul, there might be some weeds coming up, along with the trees, flowers and everything, but those weeds could be removed. The land in itself is useful. The soul is fertile. The verse that we had before about visiting the angels on the moment of death, the day when they see the angels, there will be no good news for the guilty that day, and they will say, keep off. Or the angels tell them, keep off from paradise, or they tell to the angels, keep off from us because they are angels of Azab. Then we shall attend to the works they have done. Now, this is the harshest type of example given here. That Allah says, then we attend to their good deeds. Now what we do with their good deeds, then we shall attend to the works they have done, and then turn them into scattered dust. Now if you, as I said, the philosophy behind this is that those actions have no place to stay. Just like a seed on a rock. The rain just washes it out. It doesn't make it grow, yes.
Could you also, if you make it maybe less theoretical by saying in an action by itself has no value, unless it's some divine intention. If you don't have any mind, it's always your intention. It's maybe there isn't one, your intention is very brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's why it doesn't have any value. Not because you can do the same action, but if the intention is different, then that's the value of the action.
Now, some people might reply that, okay, if you do something on an unaltruistic basis, for example, or for the sake of humanity, or for the sake of love, not for the sake of God, not for the sake of faith or akhirah, what about these actions?
Well, the other thing is, okay, let's say somebody goes to the hospital, for example. He may do it because he wants to like him. He may do it so people can say, what a great guy you are. But nobody will do it really for the sake of the people unless they have a belief in God. So they don't want to do it. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And it may not be that a person calls himself a Muslim. But if he has iman, that's the only time when you do it only for the sake of the people, for no reason.
Well, if that is the case, of course, yes.
Could that be an explanation?
Yeah, of course, of course. Of course, if that is the case, that you cannot do any good action with right intention, unless if we have intention of akhirah. Because some people might say, you don't need intention for akhirah. You might just like to do good to others. You just might love it.
Well, it's not what Imam Ali says. Did he say, but I'm not doing it for the world of akhirah, I'm doing it because I'm going to correct him because I love him with people.
Mm-hmm.
So even for him, he wasn't for the sake of akhirah, it was the right thing. It was almost like his fitra came out.
Now, what if people see these things that they are right things, but they do not believe in God? I mean, someone helps people because he thinks he believes that this is the right thing to do for a human being, only, as a human being, but they do not believe in God.
Well, they must be doing it for a reason. Maybe that means it's not a reason. And
no, the reason is because it gives them pleasure.
Well, then that's your reward. If that's the reason you do it, then there's your reward. And it's the pleasure of dunya.
So, of course, they get the reward as pleasure of dunya. Mm-hmm. And this is what all these verses say. So, by intention, you mean that the person should be a believer.
Well, for example, if a mu'min does it, he does it also for pleasure, but not for his own pleasure, that, oh, my dear, great job, I feel good. He does it for pleasure of Allah. So that's the reward he gets. Although he may not imagine how great the pleasure of Allah is.
Mm-hmm.
But a kafir, for example, even if he does it for the sake of pleasure, Allah will give him that pleasure, but it won't be his pleasure. Because
yeah.
That's not what a kafir is looking for.
That's right. That's right. Does
he get a reward for it now?
The actions, you mean for the kafir?
Yeah.
The actions have no place to stay on.
If they're generally a good person but don't have a belief in God, and they're doing an action just for their own,
yeah.
They don't get anything from it.
What we get from all these verses is that the belief in God, faith, is a land on which you could plant your actions. If you don't have that land, then the actions would just go away. They would just be destroyed. No matter how good they are, they will just be destroyed.
Don't forgive.
There's no forgiveness here. It's not action. It's
no,
faith.
I don't mean that, because they were, for whatever reason, they do believe in God. You know, whether maybe they don't contemplate,
but
they were not in a situation where...
Now, then these are mustad'afun. We are not talking about these people. Mustad'afun are people who have not given knowledge or guidance. Then Allah says, I will deal with them separately. No one knows how Allah will deal with them. Okay. That's
but
not...
I mean, you don't know who these people are. You don't know who they are. When you see a person sometimes who knows it, they don't know
of course. I mean, when we are saying these things, we don't mean that we are going to judge people.
Yeah.
Certainly, no, we cannot judge. Yeah.
No, we are just to try and conceptualize the thing in a sense that we do see the lesson with people, but unfortunately, we see outwardly at least in the sense that they don't believe in God, or they don't seem to have faith of any religious or any information towards that.
and it's sometimes perplexing that why would they taste food? But maybe it is something that is between them and God.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Now there's another example I want to give just after Safra's mention something.
It was either in your lecture or most of Ajaka's lecture where you were mentioning that it's your belief that Allah wants that reaches to Him. And your action, the only purpose the action has is to raise your belief to Him. And
yeah.
So if you believe but have no action, your belief doesn't reach Him. And if you have action but no belief, then there's nothing for
me. This is the verse of the Quran, إِلَيْهِ يَحْوَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ يَرْفَعُ. The good belief would reach him, and what takes it, lifts it up to him is al-amal al-salih. And that means if you have good belief but no amal al-salih, again, it's just like having a very fertile land with no planting. And what happens to these people, God knows. Yes.
What about the record that they hold to the prophet that they hold good work?
These cases are exactly what is added by these verses. That it depends on the very depth of their soul and their relation with God. If there is faith, it would benefit. If there is no faith, no action would benefit. Yes.
There is a hadith of Imam Jafri in which he says that all these not only scholars and mushriks, but very good citizens, he will get the recompense in Barzakh. And moments, we have to be careful of our bad deeds in Barzakh because that is where we will get the
recompense. Yeah, true. So the annihilation comes at the very end.
In the natural world.
Yeah.
So what good they will get in Barzakh.
Yeah. But if they do not believe in God at all, I mean, how they want to go and reside beside the Lord. I mean, they have been away from the Lord, turning away from Him all the time, even doing good is honoring themselves. I mean, if a person does not believe in God, but does good action, it means that they want to honor their own soul and their own self. And, well, they honor their own self, they get the pleasure of it, they get some reward for it. However, of course, they cannot go to paradise if they are totally, totally unbelievers. Now, somehow, sometimes these good actions would take a person towards faith, even if they are unbelievers. There's nothing that we can say would go unaccounted for. The example I wanted to give are the magicians who countered and opposed Musa. You see, they were unbelievers. They were doing evil actions for whole their life. Say, for 100 years. Some of them were very old, more than 100 years, 90 years, 80 years. Very expert in their skills, magic. However, as soon as they saw what Musa had brought, their heart is harder to somehow change. And that's why, because when they came to Egypt, of course our time is over, just finished. When they came to Egypt, because Pharaoh gathered them from all around his land and brought them to the mess, to his capital, Heliopolis. And then, when they came, the first thing they wanted to do, they wanted to go and see what is the magic of Musa and what type of person he is. So Pharaoh let them go to Madinatul Ibrahim, to the city where the Jews were residing. They went there, they looked, they watched, and they realized that this is not magic. So they came back to Pharaoh and they said, give us leave to go. We don't want to fight this person. And Pharaoh said that, no, it's impossible. You have to fight with him. You have to challenge him. And, well, the Quran says, on the very moment when they wanted to challenge Musa, Musa said one thing. He said, وَيْلَكُمْ لَا تَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا فَيُسْحِتَكُمْ بِعَذَابٍ. He said, woe to you, do not say lies against God. He will punish you. And as soon as Musa says that, they start to fight among each other that we shouldn't fight. We shouldn't challenge Musa. Again, they came through across Haqq. And they were sorts of people who, maybe they had a very good past. We don't know. Maybe they had done lots of good things. Now they have come here, they said, فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ وَأَسَرُّ النَّجْوَى. They started to argue amongst each other, they whispered, and they said that, do not, let us not challenge Musa. And they went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, no, he's like one of you, go and challenge. And as soon as, of course, they saw the Haqq, they bowed down to Haqq. Now, these people were killed immediately the next day. I mean, they believed in Musa for one day, and they did not pray probably, they didn't know how to pray, they did not fast, they did not do anything, and they had a life of many, many decades of magic, which is the greatest sin, and they were all became shuhada. How is it possible? Great martyrs of Musa, alayhi salam. So, yes, good actions would help, provided the soul is somehow prepared to accept the reality when Allah sends it to you. I mean, in many cases, these people who do good, but they do not believe in God, God would send them some hujjah. They come across some hujjah in their life. And then, if they are really good, if their actions count for anything, they would turn to his faith. And Allah would take. And you should know, they are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah loves them more than you love them. And Allah knows what is in their heart and knows what is their actions and everything. And so, don't worry about them. Allah looks after them, inshallah. Okay.